This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
The plot thickens.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Yahoo has mulled over the $44 billion offer from Microsoft and come up with an answer. No, thank you. Yahoo's board is expected to reject the buyout this morning and explain its position. We're joined by our reporter Lisa Napoli, who covers the tech world for us. Lisa, why do you think Yahoo is saying no?
Yeah, it seems a little hard to imagine refusing a $44 billion offer. But it turns out that the Yahoo board of directors say that their stock is undervalued now. They might be wanting $40 a share as opposed to the $31 a share that Microsoft's put down on the table.
Do we have any idea if Microsoft might be in the mood to do that?
Well, that's the $44 billion question, Scott. It seems like Microsoft feels it really needs Yahoo, but whether Microsoft is willing to buy this negotiating tactic that Yahoo seems to be doing very publicly, we'll have to wait and see.
What else might Microsoft do if it didn't raise its bid?
Steve Ballmer said the other day when he made the offer, he didn't use the words hostile takeover, but basically he said he'd do whatever he had to do to make it possible. That could mean that he would go direct to shareholders and make the offer to them and avert the board of directors.
This bid from Microsoft certainly prompted a reaction from Google. Where do you think Google stands right now?
Everybody's talking about the duopoly that this whole merger would create with Microsoft and Yahoo and how frighteningly powerful that makes Microsoft. Google buying Yahoo is almost impossible to imagine getting through regulators. The other thing, Scott, is there are reports today that Yahoo might even consider going through to AOL and try to start negotiating talks with them about merging. They're about one of the few players where that would make sense.
Okay, our reporter Lisa Napoli, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Adding to the drama here, a dissident group of Yahoo stockholders, they say they're willing to deal independently with Microsoft or anyone else who makes an offer. Speaking of drama, the Hollywood writers' strike is finally, really and truly, almost over. Union leaders approved a new 3-year contract yesterday. More now from Renita Jablonski.
Wednesday will be the big back-to-work day. That's because tomorrow the L.A. and New York branches of the Writers Guild of America will vote on whether to officially end the strike. Executive editor at Variety Mike Spire says after 3 months on the picket line, writers finally got a piece of the internet pie.
In terms of streaming and in terms of downloading, they did get something. But more importantly, they got jurisdiction over this stuff. In the past, the studios kind of were able to call the shots.
Guild members will probably approve the contract within the next couple weeks. Spire says there may be some tension between writers and other staff at first, but once TV shows and movies are being churned out again, the mood will get better.
Remember, this is Hollywood. Money is the bottom line.
Goodbye reruns. Hello cash. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
As for the stock markets, Japan and China had the day off today. Hong Kong shares fell 3.5%. The European markets are down a fraction so far. The Dow is coming off its worst week in about 5 years. It's at 12,182 after losing 4.5% last week. This is the Morning Report for Monday, February 11th on Marketplace.org. Today, the Labor Department publishes some changes to the Family and Medical Leave Act. Sarah Gardner reports.
The new rules would tighten up the requirements for getting medical leave. Workers claiming a serious health condition, for example, would have to see a doctor at least twice within 30 days of the illness. Employees would also have to notify bosses in advance before taking time off under the law. Jason Strachewski at the National Association of Manufacturers says employers understand workers will have emergencies.
However, our experience is that too often those flare-ups are occurring on Mondays and Fridays, or after important events around hunting season or the day after the Super Bowl.
But advocates like Devin McGraw at the National Partnership for Women and Families say some of the changes threaten workers' privacy. She opposes a new rule that would allow bosses to directly contact their employees' doctors.
And once the employer's on the phone with the doctor, what's to keep them from asking a whole range of questions that go beyond, you know, just merely, is this person seeing you for X condition?
The rule changes are open for public comment for the next 60 days. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Over the weekend, the G7 finance ministers predicted more losses from the subprime mess. Total bank write-offs could reach $400 billion, they say. That's almost three times what the Fed is predicting. But while G7 leaders are gloomy, one German industrialist is very upbeat. Stephen Beard explains.
Jürgen Humbrecht runs the world's biggest chemical company, BASF, of Germany. He's not showing any signs of German angst. Quite the opposite. He's very optimistic about the year ahead. In an interview with the Financial Times, he attacks the banks for what he calls panicking over the credit crunch. Humbrecht says many manufacturing companies have a big backlog of orders. His confidence is echoed in a survey of European industry commissioned by Andrew Smith of accountants KPMG.
Survey found that more than half, 56% of European manufacturers still expect their output to grow this year. Only 12% expect it to fall.
In his interview, Jürgen Humbrecht takes another sideswipe at the financial sector. The chemical company boss says the banks could learn a thing or two from manufacturing, like how to simplify their products. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce will release a handbook today to encourage foreign investment. Not foreign investment in the U.S., but in Iraqi Kurdistan. Jeremy Hobson reports.
Come see what's happening in the other Iraq, Iraqi Kurdistan.
Since 2006, Iraqi Kurdistan has been trying to differentiate itself from the violence we all associate with Iraq to attract foreign investors. Kubad Talabani is the Kurdistan regional government's rep in the U.S. and the son of Iraq's president. He doesn't see any downside to bringing all the dollars to Kurdistan.
It's the stable part of the country where people's investments can be secured. If and when the rest of the country stabilizes, then these companies can branch out into other parts of the country.
Keith Crane of the RAND Corporation is skeptical of that argument.
Kurdistan is a good example of what could happen in Iraq, but I don't see it as the locomotive pulling the Iraqi economy along.
A bigger worry, some argue, is that more investment in Kurdistan could mean a greater desire by the oil-rich region to further loosen its ties with Baghdad. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
President Bush is expected to sign the stimulus package this week. Besides the much-talked-about tax rebates, there's something else in there. Mortgage lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac will now be able to back loans higher than $417,000. In fact, all the way up to $730,000. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, what's this supposed to accomplish?
The idea is if you let Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac insure loans of up to $730,000, it would stimulate the housing market. Everything will be great. It won't cost anybody anything. It's typical Washington. I think it's absurd, but then again, what do I know?
Well, why do you think it's absurd?
Because, for starters, the idea of stimulus, at least as it's been presented to me, is something quick and targeted and limited. That's the whole gestalt, supposedly, of stimulus, according to the people who specialize in this. And this wouldn't be any of the things. The targets would be people like me who, quite rightly, aren't part of the current stimulus package because I guess we make too much money or we're rich. If you're trying to stimulate the economy, the way to stimulate it is to give money to people who are going to spend it, not to let me get a higher price for my house.
So by increasing the limit, the idea is to allow people who can afford a bit more mortgage to have the benefit of the lower interest rate?
And also it would allow banks that have made these loans larger than the limits for part of last year through now to sell them, to turn them into securities and sell them. And that way they theoretically have more money available to make more mortgage loans.
So let me ask it a different way. Who is benefiting?
All right. The people who benefit are, of course, the shareholders of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because they'd be doing a lot more business. People like me, if my house were on the market, I'd benefit because interest rates for someone buying my house would be lower than they would otherwise be. And someone who's really upset about all of this is a very good and competent guy named Jim Lockhart, who's the federal regulator of Fannie and Freddie. And what he says is, if we're going to increase the loan limits for these people, we ought to also increase the supervisory power so we make sure that the companies have enough capital to engage in all of this, which I think is a very reasonable position.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine, thanks.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us at our website. Check out the Marketplace Confessional. It's online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.